From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. Wonderful weather, isn't it? November 1st, year of our Lord 2025. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. And today is a day that we have anticipated for a long time since the show started back up in August. This is year five. Talking about Central Section sports, and a lot of people say, man, you guys talk about football playoffs way too early, projections and all that stuff. Well, today's the day where we're going to find out where all the football teams land that qualify for the playoffs. CIF right now, they are in their meeting rooms at a secret bunker location, figuring all this stuff out. And it's going to be a lot easier this year than years in the past. There are some rules that have been put into place for this year. So I think we're going to have some pretty accurate projections. We anticipate the final brackets coming around 3 o'clock. Coaches and admin and maybe some parents are going to be hitting the refresh button on the CIF Central Section website to see where their teams land. But we're going to be talking about the playoffs, football games from last night. All that good stuff that you hopefully anticipate when you tune in to the show. I want to thank First String Sports again. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. They got all the colors here. And a lot of these teams are going to be facing each other down the line in the playoffs. You got Sanger to my left. You got Madera. Sanger West, who beat Sunnyside last night. Good win for them. Clovis North behind me. They came back in last night's game to beat Clovis East. There's Hoover to my right. Edison, Bullard. Bullard 4-1 in the CMAC. Kingsburg behind me as well. So this is the place to get your Letterman's jackets all figured out, looking good, get the patches all squared away. If you miss any part of any show, you want to go back and listen, you could go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcasts. Boom. There's my show, Central Valley Sports Report. I think they might be archived for the last 3 or 4 years or so. So just had tons of great people come on the show, and we got a great show lined up for you guys today. Need to go back to a couple sponsors as well. Thanks to Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They are a direct sponsor of my show. They are located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. Also, thanks to Elite Performance Center, Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, Raw Farms, and who sponsor our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Yeah, we still do that. It's great. It's awesome. Phil Bonatti, who is my broadcast partner all season for Friday Night Lights, has a student athlete and usually their coach on his Thursday show, and they get some swag. They get hooked up. They also get hooked up at the end of the year when we have a big meal and we announce our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Year. We have a male and female, so cool deal. Love doing it. Love highlighting all the good stuff that's going on out there. Halloween last night. And it is the first time since 2012 that Halloween has fallen on a Friday. It was just a wild day yesterday. Those that are in education know. I think Clovis Unified actually had no kids, I think. As far as the elementary, I think. I'm not sure. Don't hold me to that. But our school allowed costumes. So we had that going on, the end of Red Ribbon Week, and then Friday Night Lights. And we broadcasted the Clovis and Clovis West football game at Tim Simons Field at Daryl LaMonica Stadium. And it was an awesome experience. That game culminates all Clovis week. They really, really do it up well. What I loved about last night is both of the bands performed together. I usually do that for the national anthem. They're out there for the halftime show as well. But the band directors allowed them to wear costumes while performing on the field. That was awesome. you saw like Mario, there's a banana playing the saxophone. There's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle out there. So it was cool, man. It was a cool sight to see. And I'll dive into that game in just a little bit. Let me talk about who's on the show. After the break, I'm going to be breaking down Thursday's games. There were a lot of games on Thursday. There are 23 games, 39 games last night. So after the break, I'm going to break down all the games, a little tease of where I think they're going to land in the Central Section playoffs. Around 10:40 or so, I got Deegan Rose coming on the show, quarterback at Clovis High. They beat Clovis West last night, 28-17. If you're familiar with the show, if you're, you know, any fan of Central Section sports and college sports as well, you know Deegan flipped from Oregon State to Clovis High. Huge, huge commit for the Central Valley, for Fresno State, for Deegan and his family. Deegan's been on the show before last year. And, yeah, I think it's a perfect time to get him on the show, especially after beating Clovis West last night. They are locked in. Might as well tease a couple things. They are locked in as the 2 seed in Division I AA. That's the highest bracket in our section. Yeah, Deegs is he's going to be a good one, man. I can't wait. Number 12, doing great things for Clovis High. Going to be doing great things at the next level as well. So at the top of our number 2, Trevor Horn's coming on. Trevor Horn's been on a couple times this year already. Does a great job down in the Kern Valley area. Trevor's like me. He's a nutcase in regards to projections, numbers, all that stuff. And Trevor put together this incredible spreadsheet. I was actually up to about 2 a.m. last night because the highschoolratings.com was able to update really, really quickly. There were a few changes this morning. When I hit the refresh button, a few scores weren't inputted yet. But everything's been calculated. And Trevor was up early. He's putting things in his spreadsheet. A couple surprises, guys. A couple surprises happened last night, especially with Clovis North coming back to defeat Clovis East. I don't want to spoil things too much. But if you know, you know. But I want to wait till 11 o'clock when we talk about our projections, what that looks like, the reasons why. Is it fair or not fair? All those different aspects. We're going to go all the way down to D6. I'm going to put him on the spot a little bit. Ask who he thinks might be a sleeper, right? Might rise to the top. Last year, we had tons of, like, what, 4 seeds against 7 seeds in the championship games. I went back and looked. Yeah, it's definitely not going to go to chalk this year. So there's always a few teams that have really good playoff runs. So Trev and I are going to break it down. Really excited for that segment. Hopefully you guys are too. After that, around 11:40-ish or so, I got Minarets head coach Shannon Pulliam doing a great job with that program. They are 9-1, defeated Yosemite last night. They're going to be the top seed in D6. His own son plays for Buchanan. We'll talk about Buchanan and Central East football game on Thursday. Hey, Buchanan had a lead at halftime against Central East. Put a little scare into the Bengals. But like Central East usually does, they came back and took care of business in the second half. They're locked in as the top seed, Division I AA, talking about Central East. But Shannon's son plays for Buchanan. So we'll break down that game, his team, how they're doing this year, what they learned from last year. They didn't even make it to the championship game as one of the top seeds in their division. So great guy. He's actually calling games with Scott Bemis for Fresno City College. They got a big matchup today against COS. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. All right, so let me break down last night's game as much as possible, as succinct as possible. So all Clovis week, like I mentioned, Range Rider Trophy at stake. A couple fun facts about that game. They start playing in 1979. And after the Clovis win last night, Clovis West still holds the all-time advantage in the Range Rider Trophy. How about this? 24-23. Clovis has won the last couple, actually the last 3, I believe. So they've closed the gap a little bit. However, all-time, Clovis West still leads the series 31-25 because of playoff games. They have met 6 times in the Central Section Championship game. We used to call them the Valley Championship game. Each team's won three, so that's about as even as it gets. Three for Clovis West, three for Clovis. As far as head-to-head in Valley Championship games, Clovis has eight overall. Their last was 2002, so if you hear that drive for nine, that's what they're talking about. They've been waiting for that ninth Central Section Championship for a while, since 2002. They got the team to do it this year. Last appearance was in 2015. Talked about that a few times. Team that had Jordan Love, yeah, the current Green Bay Packers quarterback. He came into LaMonica Stadium, took care of business for Liberty High School. Clovis West has nine. Their last one was 2010. So it's been a while. All right, so a little synopsis of last night's game. I thought Clovis High's defensive line was just huge. J.J. Howard, the talented quarterback for the Golden Eagles, had, gosh, just Clovis defenders draped all over him. You talk about trying to move a quarterback off his spot. They were definitely able to do that. J.J. didn't have his greatest game, but Clovis West was still in the game in the fourth quarter. They had trouble running the football. Again, hats off to Clovis's line. Did a fantastic job. I got to mention this. Cyrus Mendez was a dude, number seven, the tight end for the Cougars. He was our player of the game. Caruso looked good. James Caruso, the running back, two more touchdowns. He's got 20 on the year, fifth all-time in Clovis history. I don't have a lot of time to go over this. I don't want to waste time. But there were 24 flags thrown in that game. 24 total. And game number 10, 16 called on Clovis West. 16. There was one penalty in particular that I'm going to mention. In my opinion, it was not a good call. It was a very unnecessary call. J.J. Howard made this great play. Score is 28-10 at this point. Right? Still got a puncher's chance. J.J. Howard was juking defenders in the backfield. I think I counted five, just twisting out of things. Right? He's able to make plays. And he found number four, Titus Dimmer, out in the flat. Made a nice catch. Was able to juke a defender around the 20-yard line. He had nothing but green grass ahead of him. Nobody near him. Strides into the end zone. Boom, touchdown. But then we see this yellow flag thrown at the one-yard line. One-yard line. There was a holding call about 20 yards, I guess, side to side, I guess you could say it. I don't know, 15 yards. Had no impact on the play. Zero. Zero. And the referee threw a flag. Nobody was near him. It just wasn't necessary. Why? Why make a referee hero throw on a flag? No need. And, of course, next play, they sack J.J. Howard for a huge loss, fumbles the football, Clovis gets it back. I don't know, man. That was a tough one. We got to let them have it on the broadcast. But, hey, nothing to take away from Clovis High. They played a good football game, did enough to win it. Now they're going to find themselves in their drive for nine. We're going to hit the break. I got one more fun fact for you guys. Jensen Hirschhorn, the pitcher for Kingsburg, 6'7", projected to be a first-round draft pick, throwing 97 miles an hour. He committed to the defending champion LSU, announced on his Twitter account yesterday. So big get for LSU, big commit from Jensen Hirschhorn. We'll see this year, and because he's projected to be a high draft pick. All right, we'll hit the break, and then I'll go over some scores as quickly as possible. Then we got Deegan Rose coming on, projections, lots of cool stuff to get. Thanks to you guys for listening. Appreciate you all. We're coming back with scores and more on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Live here at First String Sports. Got some scores to give you guys. And after that, got Deegan Rose and then some of our projections for the playoffs at the top of the hour. Like I mentioned, there were a lot of games on Thursday night. And let's go over those scores. And I'll have a few comments about there's some milestones that were hit over the last couple nights. So definitely want to so you guys know about those. So Garza on Thursday took care of Madera, 55-35, so nice bounce-back win for the Guardians. Josef Ferris does an amazing job. Garza, they could make some noise. They could make some noise in the playoffs. They got a very well-rounded football team. In East Sequoia League action, Lindsay defeated Strathmore. Nice win for Lindsay. The Cardinals, 24-22. Orosi all over Orange Cove, 41-14. Orosi's going to have a nice seed in their playoffs as well. Porterville defeated Menachie, 49-7. Porterville, good team this year. Got them projected as a top four seed in Division III. They actually had a nice upset win in last year's playoffs, so they got a potent offense down there in Porterville. Aurora Grande defeated Mission Oak 42-0. What's going on with Mission Prep? They had a good team the last few years, kind of falling off this year. So good win for AG. In North Yosemite action, Sanger West 50, Sunnyside 48. Sanger West has a dude at running back. Kid is really good, and he's a senior. He's doing a really good job. So when you got a dude in the playoffs, you know, especially a running back, you could just ride him. So I think Sanger West they might make some noise as well. Torres defeated Madera South 49-16. Let me go back a little bit. I need to do this. There were five schools that finished the regular season undefeated at 10-0. Let me get a shout out to those, because the next school I'm going to mention won on Thursday night. Bakersfield Christian 10-0, Templeton, Emmanuel, Liberty Madera, and McLean. Three of those schools are going to be in the same division. Pretty sure about that. But Templeton, actually a tough one against Cabrillo, 29-23 in the Ocean League action. In Southwest Yosemite in the River Division, Frontier had to come back to beat Centennial 15-14. Centennial was up 14-0 at half. Frontier comes back with 15 straight, shuts them out in the second half. What would have happened if Centennial, who needed a win to make the playoffs, they only had two wins on the season, Centennial would have held on for that upset? We'd have a different story in the playoffs. Liberty of Bakersfield, hey, I'm not saying they're back necessarily, but Liberty is, obviously the league wasn't as strong as their non-league, but they whipped Stockdale 63-7. So Liberty is playing their best football of the year heading into the playoffs. Central Valley Christian shut out Reedley 42-0. Sierra Pacific over Hanford West 47-12. And again, I was able to check out in person the Thursday night track action. Central East 46, Buchanan 38. Brandon Smith with four more touchdowns for the Bengals. He is an absolute dude. Said that multiple times on air. A lot of people were in awe of him. He's able to run over guys, juke guys. Rarely does the first or second guy that hits him, he's able to take him down. Jelani Dipple was good at quarterback again. Made some nice throws. But that's, again, a game that Buchanan was ahead at halftime. And it seems like Central makes the adjustments. Little pep talk from Coach Biggs. So Central East track champs, 5-0, 9-1 on the season, number one seed, Division I, AA. Kalinga defeated Dos Palos in West Sierra action, 35-13. Tulare Union over Tulare Western, 55-34. Where the heck is Tulare Union going to land in the playoffs? They were not happy last year about being in the top division and having to play Clovis East in the first round. I think Tulare Union is going to be very happy where they are projected to land in the playoffs. Two losses on the year, potent offense. They got a couple Division I wide receivers. Tulare Union's going to be, I think they're going to be really hungry in the playoffs. Bakersfield Christian, one of the five undefeated teams, defeated Garces 52-31. They're pretty much locked in as the one seed in Division 1A, Base D2, but they're ranked, I think they're fourth overall, maybe fifth overall in the high school ratings. So Darren Carr and his squad doing a great job this year, looking to win another one. They won D2 last year, but looking to move up a division and win that one there as well. Scroll down to last night's game. Bullard with a nice 28-20 win over Edison. So the Knights finished CMAC at 4-1. Their only loss was 13-7 to Sanger. So Knights playing really good football. They are healthy. They're playing their best football of the year right now as well. Sanger defeated Memorial 42-24. A couple facts about this game. It's their 600th win in school history. Three-peat as the CMAC champs. They've won 15 straight. So big win for Sanger last night. They got their guy back, man. McGrew, their running back, came back from a busted collarbone. The dude's tearing it up. So a lot of these schools getting healthy for the playoffs. And that's going to spell bad news for those opponents that are playing Sanger this year. East Sequoia action. Corcoran defeated Farmersville 55-43. Woodlake 9-1 on the year after defeating Granite Hills 47-16. Golden West 66, LD 0. That was over in the after the first couple possessions. Where's Golden West going to land? We'll have to find out. They're going to be bumped up a division. They got a really good team. Two losses on the year, but the offense is very, very potent. Redwood defeated Mount Whitney. Another rivalry game, 51-6. Their running back's really good. Really good. Seen him a couple times. Burke is his last name. Saw a couple highlights on ABC 30 last night. So he's a dude. Scroll down a little bit. McLean, 43. Hoover, 13. Coach Pancotti and his team finishes the year 10-0. League champions for the second year in a row. May surprise you where we have them projected in the playoffs. A couple teams jumped them in the stand in the rankings the last couple weeks. So this is where the old eyeball test versus the computer test comes into play. That's a really good football team. Lots of athletes at McLean. So congratulations to them for having an undefeated season in the regular season. They're going to be forced into playoffs for darn sure. Roosevelt all over Fresno, high 76-7. Carruthers with a good win. Congrats to them. 12-7 over Fowler. Liberty and Madera, the other 10-0 team, defeats Chowchilla 49-27. Parlier gets into the playoffs with a 20-7 win over Riverdale. Scroll down a little bit. Kennedy defeated Chavez 56-0, and one of the best games of the night last night. Shafter beat Wasco 39-33 in overtime. Not only was that for the South Sequoia Championship, but for seedings as well, because those two teams are going to be top teams in Division III. Home field advantage is huge throughout the playoffs. Especially if you're the top seed heading into that championship game and you get the whole town behind you. Cool deal. Good game down there. Trevor Horn's able to follow that game. So, yeah, you might mention it when I bring him in a little after 11 o'clock. Scroll down a little bit more. Tehachapi with a 26-7 win over Taft. North of Bakersfield, kind of a sleeper team there. One of those directional schools from down south, defeated West 35-15. Bakersfield High. Oh, I was misinformed. We were told that game was 35-0 at one point on Max Preps, but they had it wrong here on High School Ratings. They have that game of only 21-7. So the Drillers with a tight one against a much improved program, Independence. Ridgeview defeated Highland 28-21. Highland does not make the playoffs, only two wins for them. Washington Union with a big win at Kerman, 30-13. Big win. The seedings are going to change in that. Washington Union is going to be bumped up. They're going to get at least one home game in the playoffs. Emmanuel, another school that went a perfect 10-0 in non-league action, defeated Exeter 49-7. We talked about Clovis High and Clovis West, 28-17. Clovis North with a comeback win against Clovis East, 27-20. I think it was 20-7 at one point. So Clovis North storms back. Clovis East, unfortunately, 0-5 this year. 0-5 after going 10-0 last year, undefeated in the track. We know their turnover, not only with the coaching staff, with some players as well. George Petrasson's taken over that program. George is a phenomenal guy. Love George Petrasson's. Players love him. Parents love him. But fortunately, 0-5 in the track. Where are they going to land in the playoffs? You may be surprised. If you're in the know, you won't be. But, yeah, it's going to look a little bit different, the top two Division I brackets. Fireball defeated Mendota 35-14. Tranquility 20, Avenel 6. Dinuba with a good win over Mission Oak 28-14. Hanford in their rivalry game 34, Lemoore 12. Hanford likes their spot a lot in the playoffs. Coach Cannon Sanchez, his team isn't as potent as last year when they went 10-0, graduated a lot of dudes, but I think those kids have figured it out. They're going to get a home game to start the playoffs. So congrats to them. A couple other scores. Kingsburg in their rivalry game all over Selma, 51-0. A bunch of dudes scoring touchdowns on the ground, through the air. Kingsburg playing good football. Minarets, we got Coach Shannon Pulliam coming on the show. 46-0 over Yosemite. And there we go. That pretty much wraps it up. So nice. I hopefully gave you guys enough info succinctly. We got Deegan Rose. He's right across from me right now, waiting his turn, wearing his Clovis Cougars stuff. Got the day off after a big win against Clovis West. So happy to talk to Deegan, and we'll talk about last night's game, the season, Fresno State. Excited to talk to Deegs, and I hope you guys are too. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. And I have Deegan Rose here, sitting right next to me, live. Clovis High quarterback. Nice win last night against Clovis West, senior night, right? You never want to lose to Clovis West on your senior night. Headed to Fresno State. We're going to talk about all that stuff, how loaded they are as a team, how bad they want to not only make it to the Central Section Championship game, but win one. And Deegs, it's been about, what, a year? I think it was about a year ago when you were on the show last year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, last year.
And I tried really hard to get you on, and you finally were able to see, that's what happens, right? I hang out after the game and see your family down there. All right, I got that open slot. Let's go, Deegan. So, yeah, you're here. Yeah. Happy to talk to you. On Saturdays, you've had practices before on Saturdays. You guys kind of get after a little bit. Are you pretty sore on Saturdays? What's that look like for you?
I mean, yeah, I'm sore, but it'll last a day.
Okay.
And, you know, it's nothing really too serious. It's just little bumps and bruises here and there, and then I'm good the rest of the week.
Is Sunday, you count that as more of your recovery day? Sit back and watch some NFL, hang out a little bit. Is that how you kind of frame your weekend?
Yeah, and I like to golf. I like to golf on Sundays.
You golf on Sundays?
Yeah, I do.
Where do you golf at? Where do you like to?
Mostly just Airways.
Okay.
I'm not that good. So I'm not there yet, but Airways, we go to Dragonfly sometimes. So
You'll play the 18 or you just go to the hitting range?
No, we'll play 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you just grip it and rip it? Is that kind of what you try to do?
No.
Off the tee?
I'm actually horrible with my – I'm actually really good with my irons. So
okay.
It's kind of weird, but I can't hit a driver to save my life. So. I just use my woods and stuff.
All right. Last night, mm-hmm. Clovis versus Clovis West, all Clovis week. Your only loss in this Range Rider Trophy game was your freshman year. Mm-hmm. Family's there, got the big posters and all that stuff, the recognition. That's such a cool deal for seniors. So how big was that win? Right? Did it feel a little bit different than years past, knowing that's it? That was your final one.
Yeah, I mean that game's always a fun one. You know, there's a lot of bad blood there, and you know, as a competitor, I mean, a lot of us, we love playing against them, and that's always a game we have circled on our schedule since as soon as it comes out. You know, it being senior night, I mean, it was hard to, you know, all the ceremonies pregame, and then after that, okay, now we got to go win a football game. But I think we did a good job of that. You know, I mean, a lot of us, we've been playing together forever. You know what I mean? And it kind of sucks. You know, one of my best friends, Maddox, he wasn't able to play, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I mean, we missed him out there. And, you know, we got the win for him.
When you're walking through down on the field with your family, like, what were there some certain thoughts going through your mind? Like, hey, man, I can't believe it. I was – you know, I remember walking out of the field when I was a freshman for my first game. This just, did it hit differently? What were some memories that were flooding through your mind?
Yeah, it was definitely weird, you know, because I mean, I've been starting for 4 years. And, you know, I remember senior night my freshman year. I was like, it goes by so fast, you know, and it's cliche because everybody says it. But it really does fly by, and you really got to cherish every moment you have.
It's cliche because it's true.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, my gosh. Like, I remember running around and not really knowing what I was doing at some points in the football game. Now, here I am playing against Clovis West for maybe the last time. We'll get into
we'll
that
see.
A little
yeah.
bit.
We'll see.
See. Yeah, we'll right? See. We'll see. All right, so let's talk a little bit about last night's game. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a different flow. The fourth quarter was a little kooky, but – you know, you threw for, what, 260-something, 268 or so, a couple touchdown passes. What was kind of the game plan going? So you just want to start fast? Did you want to take what the defense was giving you? Because I felt like your first two drives, I think the second drive you guys actually didn't score. Mm-hmm. There was a penalty that brought you guys back. But I thought the offense was flowing pretty good, especially on that first drive.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing during practice, we've been trying to go up-tempo a lot this week, and you know, RPOs, just getting the ball out, and he actually gave me the freedom to call the protections the way I want it because they do so much stuff up front. And you know, I think we had a really good game plan going into it, and we executed it well in the first half. The second half wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but, you know, we got out there, we did our jobs, which is, I mean, we won the game, so, I mean, we did what we needed to do, but there was definitely some stuff out there that we'd like to have back.
What do you think the play of the game was, or a turning point, or a play that sticks out to you? I mean, there wasn't a huge explosive play.
No.
But maybe it was just a simple, hey, we need to get this first down. We got the first down. Sterling Edwards, right?
Yeah.
That was a legit play.
Yeah, the dig, yeah. Yeah, he's really explosive, you know. It's easy. You give him the ball in space, he's gone. He could be gone in a second, so.
Yeah. Maybe that play? I don't know.
There was that one. There was a couple fourth down conversions in there to Cyrus, you know, just replacing the blitzer, which is all we needed. And he actually made a couple guys miss last night, which is kind of funny because I was giving crap because he never can. So,
but he is a load. Let's give him some props,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He is a load. I'm thinking about that one where it was about an 8-yard pass and, you know, Clovis West tried to wrap him up. Wasn't going down. A second one came. Mm-hmm. Nope, he wasn't going down. And then I think it ended up being about pretty much the whole team down the field. Like Phil Bonatti, you know, described it as a scrum, a rugby scrum for about 7 or 8 more yards.
Yeah, he's a big dude. You know, he's probably 6'4", 240.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a big guy.
Have you ever hit him in practice? Have you, like, tried to hit that guy?
No.
I know you're good friends with him.
Not, like with my I've hit him, like, I'll slap him in the face. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're really good friends, you know. I mean, all of us are. That's one thing about this team. You know, we're all super close. We all love each other, and it's always fun to be around, you know, in the locker room, out in the field. It's a great time, and, you know, I really enjoy it.
You've been playing with Cyrus for a long time, fellow senior.
Yeah.
Like, how's your relationship on the field? I mean, he was blocking down. I mean, he was doing a little bit of everything. Competitors.
Yes.
Right? It's a good way to describe you guys. Because there was one play out there where you guys had a little discussion. I saw a couple hands waving after some miscommunication.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing about Cyrus is that we can go at it, and then the next second, we're fine. You know what I mean? He's definitely like, you can almost say he's one of my brothers. And the way we talk to each other, the way we get along, you know, it's certainly fun to be around. And, you know, I don't know. It's a little miscommunication on that, but you know it happens, and you know we fixed it, and we had a good game.
A couple guys, James Caruso, man, what a year! I know you mentioned you were really looking forward to playing with Maddox Merrill this year, but he stepped up.
He's done
big
great,
time.
Great job. Yeah.
He's a dude.
He is.
He lowers his head. He don't care.
Yeah, I still don't understand how he's like not even like like, I don't want to say hurt, but like, he doesn't get tired.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's playing linebacker too.
The whole game, man. Kickoff. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. He takes care of his body great. I mean, I've never really seen anything like it. So, I mean, he's helped us a lot. He stepped up in a big way, obviously replacing Maddox. I mean, Maddox, he's got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And James is doing a great job.
Doing a good job as a sophomore.
Yeah.
Carlos Young.
Carlos, yeah.
Like, when did you first see that Moss play, right? You got mossed. It was on social media. Mm-hmm. When did you first see it, like, holy cow, like Randy Moss is giving a shout out to Carlos Young. Do you remember that moment?
Oh yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I didn't see it till Saturday morning.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, when you're getting recognition like that from Randy, I was kind of hoping he was going to say Deegan Rose with the back of Carlos Young.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So what is the ceiling for this year's team? You guys have a mindset of like, dude, we got the horses this year. We're going all in. We're leaving everything on the field. We want the drive for nine Central Section Championship, bring about the Clovis High. What has been the talk amongst you guys, and what's the feeling?
I mean, yeah, obviously we want to go win a section championship. I'm pretty sure that's been our goal since day one. But at the same time, you know, this football league, the Valley is so competitive, you can't look ahead. So we just got to, you know, focus in on that week, the team we're playing that week, and you just can't look ahead. You know, anything can happen. Sometimes, like, weird stuff happens. And, I mean, Coach Wilkins has done a good job praising that and making sure we know that. And we've also done a good job doing that. So, I mean, I think that's very important for us. And, you know, we really want to, you know, we want to win the section championship.
If our projections are correct, again, this is not official.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. You guys might be hosting a team that you lost to down there, Frontier.
Yeah.
How juicy of a matchup is that going to be?
That's a game a lot of us want back. You know, it was kind of just a weird game. You know, we didn't play great, but, I mean, I don't know. It was just weird. It's always weird when you go play down there in Bakersfield. You know, a lot of people know that, but, you know, we want that one back. A lot of us do, and, you know, we're really excited. Really excited for that game.
Yeah, a lot of people are. We'll find out. Find out for sure, right?
Yeah.
Around 3 o'clock, waiting for the brackets from the CIF Central Section office. We're talking with Deegan Rose right now. All right, Deegan, I want to talk about Fresno State in just a second, but I want to know what your favorite type of throw is or your favorite type of play call. Like, you're really good rolling out to your left, man. Right?
Yeah, it's fun.
Like, what for you? What's your favorite?
I like throwing digs. I think there's so much, like, you can do so much with it. You know, you can put touch on it, and you can throw it in there. You know, it's kind of like a now-or-never throw sometimes. You know, you throw this ball, it might be a pick, but at the same time, if you hit it, it's a big play. And I think that's the beauty of it. And it's also, I mean, it's right in front of you, the throw, most of the time. So it's not an insanely hard throw, but just the windows, the defense, that's what makes it so hard and challenging, and I love that.
How much do you have to trust your receiver that he's in the right spot?
A lot.
Because that could be a disastrous.
There's a lot of trust. You know, we practice a lot of, you know, we do a lot of routes on air and 7-on-7 at practice, and it helps. You know, I mean, building trust. I mean, I've been with these guys for 2 years now, so that's definitely helped too.
Left side, right side, do you have a preference?
Left.
Left, that's right.
That's,
I mean, you're a baseball player too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a natural
it's
motion
just natural,
going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk Fresno State.
Okay.
So you were a pretty hard commit. I don't want to take words away from you, but you were a pretty hard commit to Oregon State. When you came on the show, you're like, man, I love everything about it. I always want to play for Oregon State. I'm an outdoorsman. I, you know, like the atmosphere, all that stuff. And then things happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Things happen that are out of your control.
Yeah.
I know other schools were on top of you. You know, you had a really good summer last summer. A lot of guys were talking to you. So just walk us through just kind of when you started thinking, maybe not. Maybe this isn't going to work out for me. It's kind of that thinking process to then your commitment to Fresno State.
Yeah, I think at like the end of the day, it kind of all comes down to what's best for you. And you know, me and my family, you know, you have to, in this day and age, you kind of got to have, like, you got to, like, just in case something happens, you got to know what you're going to do. And, you know, I mean, it happened, and, you know, ultimately I think that's what's best for me going forward, and I'm excited for it. I mean, I love Coach Entz, I love Coach Davis, love what they're doing over there. You know, staying close to home, you know, that'll be great too, and you know, I'm just excited get on campus and compete.
Was it something that, like, you know, when the Oregon State started off with a bad record, you know, again, that loss to Fresno State, was that like thinking, oh, maybe I need to explore some other options? When for you personally did you start thinking about it?
I mean, I was kind of always like, I always loved the staff there, and, you know, I was a hard commit, like you said, and, you know, I really wanted to go there, but it's just, you know, it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, stuff happens, and we prepared, which is great. You know, I'm glad that I told my parents, like, hey, something else might need to happen. And, you know, I mean, I'm happy. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm definitely, yeah, it'll be fun. And at the end of the day, like I said, it's what's best for me.
All right. So when you did finally commit to Fresno State, like, outside of your family,
yeah,
who was the first person you called or texted?
I mean, a lot of people, my grandparents, obviously, you know, they've been there for a long time. My grandpa, he's always wanted me to go to Fresno State. always, the whole time.
Did you say something like, oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
Did you say something like that?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, my girlfriend, I had to tell her. And I don't know. It was just, everybody was just extremely happy for me and excited. And, I'm blessed to be in that situation where people, you know, they want me to stay home.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of my family at the game. So
people are going to know where the Deegan Rose section is, right?
Yeah.
Going to be decked out.
I'd imagine, yeah.
Did you call Coach Entz? Like, how did you tell them, okay, hey, I'm coming?
Yeah, I mean, I called him, and then, you know, we met in person. He just wanted to make sure, like, I could say it to his face. You know what I mean? Which is, I respect that, you know, it's man-to-man kind of thing. You know, and, yeah, I mean, he was excited. I think they're all pretty excited for it, and I was too. So we're just happy to get this thing going.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you always grow up, again, you know, local kid, but were you always a Bulldog fan? Not really, huh?
I mean,
like,
I was always kind of just like, I just always kind of loved football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I never really had a favorite college growing up. It kind of was just players. Like, I love Marcus Mariota. You know,
yeah.
I really liked Oregon as a kid. Obviously, the jerseys. You know, I liked Deshaun Watson. It was just kind of players. And then once you get older, and starting getting recruited, it's like dang, you know what
it
I
could
mean?
Be a real
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
It could be a real thing. Did the Carr brothers reach out to you? Did you, like, share some text message, or what did that look like?
I've talked to Derek a couple times. You know, it's kind of funny. I saw him at my girlfriend's dance recital because I think his daughter might dance at the same studio. And, you know, I saw him in the bathroom. I was wearing Oregon State stuff. He's like, man, you got to take that off. You know, you already know where to go. And it's just kind of been like that, kind of messing around.
That was before you committed?
That was before.
Yeah.
It was like,
obviously, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. I mean, obviously, you know, they're the Carr brothers.
Yeah.
You know, they're Fresno State, NFL, great success everywhere they've been. So, I mean, it's always kind of cool to just get to experience that.
Have you thrown with Derek?
No, I haven't. That'd be something I want to do. That'd be really cool.
All right. Yeah. I think that could happen.
I think so, we
make that happen.
Yeah.
A few people have asked me, Deegan, so I want to hear it straight from you. Early enrollment?
Yes.
I know you were with Oregon State, but Fresno State?
Yes. I'll be there in January.
January.
Yep.
All right. So what's that path line look like? Have they talked to you like, hey, you're going to be on campus on this day? Do you know that yet?
Not really? No. Not the date.
Okay.
Not the exact date. I just know it's in January. Be there for spring ball.
Awesome. All right. A couple more questions. Talking with Deegan Rose. Let's focus on this year, right? That's great. Future is going to take care of itself. Everybody's excited for you. You saw the responses on social media. Got to go on every news station pretty much during that time when you committed to Fresno State. But you still got your senior year ahead of you, entering playoffs.
Yeah.
What do you envision is going to happen? Like, what would be a perfect way to end your senior year at Clovis High?
Perfect way would be winning the last game. And I think that's a lot of our goals. You know, we got to go. I mean, it's not a secret. You know, Central's, they're Central, like they always are. And, you know, we got to play a really good game if we want to beat them. But at the same time, we can't look ahead. So, I mean, we got to play. Whoever we play, we find out later. But whoever we got, I mean, that's going to be a challenge enough. So we got to focus on them and not look ahead.
Really quick here, Jelani Dipple, right? You guys got a little text thread going, right?
Yeah,
smack between the games. What do you think about that guy?
He's
pretty
cool.
Good, huh?
Yeah, he's good. He's funny. He's a pretty funny guy. I mean, we throw with our quarterback coach, Greg Pinelli, a lot. And, you know, he's a friend. You know, he's really cool. He's funny. He's actually it's kind of funny. Like, I remember, I don't know, when they won last year, but during that summer, I didn't even know who he was. You know, they brought in Jelani. It's like, dang, this is the Central's quarterback. And then, you know, he's definitely really good.
It finally clicked for him.
Yeah, it did.
And they got a championship last year.
Yeah.
They got you in round one. There might be a matchup in round two. I know you're taking it game by game, obviously, as it should. But, hey, Deegan, thanks for coming in. Happy it worked out for you. Happy for all your success. You know, I've watched you since you were a freshman, and it's been a pleasure for a lot of people. And we get to watch you firsthand for the future as well. So thanks for coming. Yeah. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Deegan Rose. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to be talking about these projections. Trevor Horn is coming on the show. You're listening to it all in the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Just had a good conversation with Deegan Rose, Clovis High, 8-2 on the season. Pretty much locked into that number two spot in the playoffs, headed to Fresno State. Yeah, he's a good kid. Watched him since his freshman year. Those kids are pretty special. Fresno State's getting a good one. Excited about his future. He's still got some high school football left in him. Don't want to look too far ahead, but he's a good player, good kid. We got Trevor Horn on the line right now. Now is the time. No more talking about where this team might be. We're going to find out around 3:00 today, but Trevor's got some projections and so do I. We'll see how they match up. Friend of the show, Bearded Wonder, lover of fine cuisine as well, all around good guy, jokester, all those good things that makes life fun. So Trev, how you doing, my friend, down there in the land of Bakersfield?
Tired.
Well, that I went to sleep around 2, a little after 2. What about you?
That's a loaded question, because I think I finally laid my head down probably around 1:30, but my little buddy, my 3-year-old son, had a rough night, and we were up with him till about 4. So, I don't know, then? So, hey, such is the life. I mean, gosh, Shafter Wasco last night, 89th version of that rivalry, and you know, and we talked about it down here. It is the longest standing rivalry in Central Section history. It's been going on since 1933. Obviously, they've met a couple times in the playoffs. That's why it's the 98th edition instead of the 93rd edition. Anyway, we went back and I talked to historians on both sides of it. And, we came to the conclusion that this was the biggest game since 1949 in that rivalry. And last night's game probably became the best game in that rivalry's history. Shafter won it in overtime, 39-33, in front of a packed house on Halloween. It was absolutely glorious. It's what high school football is all about.
And we were following your tweets.
I didn't get home from that game until like 11. And then, obviously, I like to watch Justin White, our sports director, Channel 17. I like to watch his 11-11 sportscast on Friday nights. And you know, by 11:30, I start diving into rankings at 11:30 because, oh, hey, Kyle Biggs, thanks for texting me, getting my mind going.
And you had to update your spreadsheet. And the highschoolratings.com, they updated really quick. There are a few scores that came in late, but it was stuff. Stuff was up.
That's the thing is that I was still watching the sportscast last night when Kyle texted me, and I was like, well, you know, I don't really know. I think BHS, once they get that game in there, when Bakersfield High's game gets factored in, they'll probably move over to Slayer Union. He's like, hey, man, it's already updated, and they didn't, which is baffling to me because going into last night's games, Tulare Union was only 1/10 of a point ahead of Bakersfield High. in the rankings, and we're really kind of looking at that jockeying at that point, like who's going to get the number two seed in 1A. And then it all happens to be that I thought that a win over Independence was greater than a win over Tulare Western, which was Tulare Union and BHS's opponents this weekend. So I thought that that was going to factor in. It didn't. I'm a moron, obviously. And now neither one of them are probably going to go D1A. I think they're both going to be the top two seeds in D2 now because of what happened between Clovis East and Clovis North last night. So,
all right, you're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah, you start the questions and I'll start firing off. So go ahead.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
That was called a tease.
And you're not a moron. I'll start it off with that. All right, so let's just get right into it. So Clovis North comes back and beats Clovis East. Man, what the heck would that have looked like if East would have beat North? All right, so go down your projections for D1AA. What are you seeing right now? And we'll get into the reasons why it is what it is.
Okay, on question number one, Clovis Central East. They're undefeated against Central Section opponents. They're number one in the section for a reason. They haven't lost anybody. They're the number one seed. Number two is Clovis. They've obviously shown that despite the loss to Frontier on September 5th, they're still the number two team in the Central section by finishing second in the track. Clovis West is third. Clovis North did themselves a huge favor by getting that game over Clovis East last night because it gives them their first and only win in the track, and it keeps them at the four seed ahead of Buchanan right now in ratings.
Really quick, Clovis North.
I'm going specifically off of HS ratings rankings for this right now, and they have Clovis North over Buchanan. So I'm going with that. There's a half a point difference between the two of them, and with Buchanan beating Clovis North, it's probably going to flip them. But I'm going specifically off of what the rankings are right now, and then I'm allowing the committee to be the one that are going to make the decision. On a few spots, and this is the first of many spots where the committee's really going to have to look. We're like, well, head-to-head and league rankings shows that they should flip. They probably should flip, but the way that I have it is just off HS ratings. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to leave as much of my opinion out of the way that I did these rankings, the way that I've been doing these rankings for the last 3 weeks. I'm not Joe Lenardi. I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going specifically off how HS ratings has it and what the criteria is, and I'm kind of leaving it at that. And then those other intricacies, I'm allowing the committee to make themselves. So I'm not going to be right on all of this. But I think, like Gabe said, I think we're pretty darn close.
Yeah, let me interject really quick. So four or five, though, I mean, the game's going to be at Veterans Memorial Stadium no matter what. It's just what side and what uniforms you're on.
So it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's just who gets to be on the home side, who gets to wear their home,
correct,
you know, the home darks, and who wears the road whites. That's what it really comes down to that. Because then you got St. Joseph at the 6 and Frontier at the 7. Now, they could switch as well because here's the other question you have to ask. Here's a Frontier team that won the River League title, albeit not as strong as the track by any stretch of the imagination. But I still think that they're stronger than the league that St. Joe's is in down in the Central Coast. So Frontier is a team that beat the number two overall seed, lost to the four seed by 6 points, and then went undefeated in league. They don't have it, and Frontier might be 6-4, but those four losses are all to teams in the top 100 in the state of California. So they don't have a bad loss. Now, they've got some clunker wins like they had Thursday night against Centennial in a 15-14 victory, but do you put a league champ over a non-league champion like, say, Joe's, who lost to Royal Grande 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, so that's right.
One double A is going to be seven teams. It's these seven teams. It's just kind of going to be wonky on how 4 through 7 looks when the brackets come out later this afternoon.
Well, I do know this, that Clovis High would be absolutely licking their chops for another chance at beating Frontier, especially on their home turf.
And especially with Israel Briggs actually playing in this game, unlike him not playing on September 5th.
All right, so Division 1A, what do you got there? Something kind of surprised me, especially from the results last night. Where do you have these teams?
Clovis East dropped to number 12 overall in the Central Section rankings by HS Ratings. So what does that do? That drops them down to the 2 seed in 1A behind Bakersfield Christian, who will be the lone Division II team to move up, unlike what we've been thinking for the last month, that it would be 2 teams. Because for those of you guys who listen, if you don't know, the way that the Central Section did it this year, it's a 25% criteria to move up, which means within the bracket itself, if you are in the top 25% of the division higher than your base division, you can then be moved up. If you're not, then you can't. And with only 7 teams in an 8-team bracket, that means only one team can move up, because 25% of 7 is less than 25%. If it was a full 8-team bracket, which it's not going to be because there's only 14 teams that are eligible for either one of the two Division I brackets this year, you're going to get Central East with a bye and 1AA, and you're going to get Bakersfield Christian with a bye and 1A. So what does that do? That moves Hanford, Liberty, Sanger, Bullard, and Memorial all up one spot. So it makes 1A look Bakersfield Christian, Clovis East at the 2, Hanford 3, Liberty 4 over Sanger right now, according to HS Ratings. Then Bullard, then even though Memorial is ranked 39th in the Central Section overall, they're still a D1 base. They shouldn't be rewarded with a D2 home game. They should stay in their D1 base and play where they're supposed to play in their base division.
So the reason why, and we had projected Bakersfield and even Tulare for a little bit of moving up to that division. Main reason is because they weren't in the top 25%, so that leaves 7 teams.
Exactly. With 7 teams, only one team can move up, and that one team is going to be undefeated Bakersfield Christian, who's ranked 4th overall in the Central Section. They should be, or could, be the 1 seed in 1A. Because I'm probably going to be wrong, and that's fine. I don't care.
I know, again, projections, right? We're just a couple dudes that study this and doing our best. The committee could do something different. I'm curious about your thoughts about this, Trevor. Do you feel that Clovis East basically got rewarded, quote-unquote, if this happens, for going 0-5 in the track? We know what they did last year. We know the turnover, coaching, and players as well. Well, gradually, a lot of players. Does it look good? Is it fair? I hate to use that word, actually. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, what do you do? Do you penalize Central and make them play next week? Or do you reward the number one overall seed and give them a bye? That's what it really comes down to. And can you, in the heart of hearts, put the 12th overall team and the number 8 in 1AA when they're still in technically a Division I? I mean, we all want to call that Division II, right?
Right.
And say that we have 7 divisions, but that's not the case. It just happens to be Division I is divided up in 2 different brackets. And so Clovis East moving down, you know, we saw it. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. It is what it is. They're banged up, right? I mean, there's a reason.
Absolutely, yeah. Clovis East, yep. They are banged up.
There's a reason why they dropped down, because they had a great preseason, non-league slate, and then they go 0-5 in the track. Track's a very top 5 league in the state, probably, in terms of football. Sure, let's go with that, right? Top 5, top 10 league in the state of California. I mean, it's tough to play in that league week in and week out for 5 straight weeks. So, I mean, does that give them a chance to win at all? I don't know. Are they better than Hanford? Are they better than Bakersfield Christian? Are they better than Liberty? I don't know. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I mean,
that's the great thing about it.
Trevor, if we just look at those 4 teams, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the Division I-A that we are projecting right now, you got Hanford, Liberty, Sanger, and Bullard. All 4 of those teams, and I guess we could throw in Bakersfield Christian, they're 10-0. All 4 of those teams are playing their best football this season right now ahead of the playoffs. To talk about the injuries for Clovis East, those guys, those 4 teams, their dudes are back. They're playing their best football. So that's going to be a really, really interesting, you know, 3 through 6.
Well, Liberty has finally figured out the quarterback position after an injury. After a transfer, Rob Smith to Ridgeview, and then the injury to Gavin Parham, they've kind of solidified the sophomore Brogan Whicher, and you guys will get to know his name very well on the football field and the baseball diamond in the coming years. Just a sophomore, had 8 home runs for Liberty on the varsity squad as a freshman last year. The kid's an absolute phenom. But he is a mobile quarterback. They've got 3 running backs, and Dennis Perry, Carter Hansen, Elmo Witten. And Liberty's got one of the biggest and strongest O-lines anchored by Michigan State commit Quinn Buckey at left tackle. I mean, their O-line averages about 280. So they've kind of figured out, you know, Richie Bowen's a former O-lineman at North High and New Mexico State. So, you know, he likes to run power often, if you will. That's a Kyle Wedel, Wasco head coach saying. But, you know, Liberty, they can pound it right down your throat, and they play good defense. So Liberty's a wild – I find Liberty to be a wild card there in 1A, along with Clovis East, obviously,
and
moving down.
So it's gonna be very, if they're projected to play Sanger, that's going to be a really good football game.
Is that game going to be in Sanger, or is that going to be here in Pittsfield on the west side?
So, I mean, Sanger, they're the CMAC champs. CMAC champs. So why don't you throw in that wrinkle really quick?
So let's go into that really quick, because now we're in that situation where the 4-5 matchup, and I had totally forgotten about this, but Gabe Camarillo, your former producer, did a really good job in reminding everybody in his article this morning that because of what happened to Tatchby 3 years ago, where they were an undefeated league champ and they had to go on the road in the playoffs and play at Centennial, who I finished third in the River League that year. They made the caveat there, if there's a 4-5 matchup and the 5th seed is a league champ and the 4th seed is not, the committee has the option to flip them. So if that game goes to Sanger, it's a totally different story than it is if Liberty's hosting that 4-5 matchup in 1A.
All right, so let's move on to Division 2. That division got way more tasty. All right, so why don't you go through? I think we got 14 teams. We're projecting at D2.
Here's the thing. Thanks to Gabe. I had to pivot. Golden West is out of D2 now. They're down into their base division of D3, based on the fact that with only 13 teams, they're not in the top 3. They can't move up because they're behind Redwood in the overall rankings. So Golden West, as a non-league champion, would be in the 4th spot in Division 2, which is not eligible because that's not in the top 25%. So Golden West gets moved down to D3, and we'll get into that where they're going to be. So without them in Division 2, despite the fact that, they're 12th overall –
let me look here. 15.
15, thank you. Yep, 15th, but they finished 3rd in the East Yosemite League. So they drop back down. I have them projected to drop back down to D3. So Tulare Union would get the 1 seed in D2. Bakersfield High would get the 2 seed. Redwood, 3 seed. Then Arroyo Grande. Arroyo Grande did themselves a lot of favors by beating St. Joseph.
Yeah.
Then you've got a very path-heavy and much-improved Garces team from that winless team last season. And then Kingsburg at the 6. I've got Lemoore sitting at the 7. Dinuba. Again, guys, remember, I am not projecting what the committee may or may not do. I'm going specifically off HS ratings rankings throughout the central section from top to bottom. So Lemoore at the 7, Dinuba at the 8. Sorry, I had to put that caveat. I have Central Valley Christian at the 9, Lompoc, Slow, Tehachapi at the 12, and finish out with the 13th seed Sunnyside to complete Division 2 in my projection, which means it would give Tulare Union, BHS, and Redwood all first-round byes next week. I'm going to tell you this right now. The one team that helps the most is Bakersfield High, because Elijah Cavazos, their starting quarterback, got hurt in the opening series against Bakersfield Christian 2 weeks ago, and they've had sophomore Elon Mackey, the son of Deron Mackey, who played at Boise State. His son has been playing quarterback, but Cavazos is a senior, very, very consistent quarterback, has been in that system for 3 years, has played very well there, kind of balances that offense a little bit more than what Mackey does, because Mackey's more of a dual threat run first type of guy. I think that if the Drillers get Cavazos back, it's going to get very interesting for everybody. But my goodness, if you got BHS versus Tulare Union, Bob Mathias for the section championship on Black Friday, sign me up. I'm there.
There is an interesting development, though. You're talking about Kingsburg, Lemoore, Dinuba, and CVC. They're going to have – the committee's going to have an interesting dilemma on their hands because Dinuba and CVC both beat Kingsburg, and Kingsburg on high school ratings is ahead of those two. So we'll see how they hash that out.
Hey, we're going to have that same conversation here as we get into Division III.
Exactly. All right, so let's hit it. So you saw a couple of those teams battle out. They're going to be – the 1 and 3 seed, we believe. So kind of go ahead and take us through what you project.
Hold on for a second. My son's pounding on the gym door right now. Not right now, bud.
Tell him to take a nap.
All right. So Shafter, Division 4 base, will be the number one. Should be, gosh darn it, Trevor, should be the 1 seed in Division 3 based on the fact that despite being 1 spot behind Golden West in the overall rankings at 15 and 16, because they are an undefeated league champ, they will get the 1 seed over Golden West in that scenario if the committee uses that, which they should. So Shafter should be the 1 seed. Golden West will be the number 2 seed in Division 3. And then here's where we go again. What do you do with Porterville and Wasco? Wasco beat Porterville, right? So there you go. So what do you do there? Even though Porterville is ranked higher than Wasco, Porterville's 20th overall, Wasco's 22nd. What do you do there with them in a 14-7 win for Wasco earlier this season?
Well, Trevor, if you go by those the points, right? 13.4, 12.3. So I think you got to flip them.
You probably have to flip them, so that's why I've got Porterville at the 3 and Wasco at the 4. So I think Porterville gets a 3 seed over Wasco, then Kennedy falls in at 5, which makes it really interesting because the 1, 4, and 5 in a 16-team bracket are all on the same side. So you're telling me the top 3 teams in the South Sequoia League might all be on the same side of the bracket and are just going to beat each other up again like they did in the month of October? I mean, that's insane. So, but the problem is here you go. You have Independence sitting at 6. Kennedy beat Independence in September. You can't really, can you put an Independence team over an Independence team over a Kennedy team? Don't know. Don't think so. So it might end up that you have 3 SFL teams in the top half of the bracket in Division 3, which is insane. So then you finish off. I've got Tulare Western at the 7, followed by Washington Union Garza, Kerman at the 10, Madera, Paso Robles, Mission Oak. Ridgeview falls in at the 14, Rigetti, and then Mission Prep, if they've elected to go, they'd be the 16th seed, which would take a bye, what we thought would be a bye out of Division 3 for the top seed, because with Golden West moving down, that fills a D3 bracket.
And Washington Union defeating Kerman last night, that was a big win. I know Garza and Kerman, they might play, right? We'll see if they play each other. We'll see what the committee comes up with.
Here's the thing. They're not going to play this week because this section does not like to have back-to-back games. They try to avoid that at all cost. So that's why you would have Washington Union versus Garza in the 8-9 matchup, and then Tulare Western would likely host Kerman if that all falls into place the way that I am projecting it. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. That's the way I think it might happen.
Yeah, I think everybody would be actually okay with that.
I don't want people yelling. I want people
yelling. They're not.
It's a happy day. No, here's the thing. This is a happy day. It's November 1st. We're now allowed to say Christmas is next month. That makes me very excited. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. All right, so Division 4. This is pretty tasty as well. What do you got in – or sorry, Division – Division 4.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Liberty Madera Ranchos, we thought was going to be in Division 4 this whole time, a D5 base. I am projecting them not. Why? Because it looks like Division 4 might only have 12 teams in the bracket, which means only the top 3. Well, Liberty Madera Ranchos would have sit in the number 4 spot in Division 4 behind Templeton, Emmanuel, which is a D5 base, and an undefeated McLean team. So that drops Madera back down to the top seed in Division 5, and that moves North High out of Bakersfield. Adam Levinson, absolutely incredible job, has a team 8-2 on the field this year in just his second year as a head coach, 4 seed. And then what did Roosevelt do? Did they not call off the dogs against Fresno last night? My goodness. So they're at the 5.
It was 15-0 at half, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just that's a ramp. And then they still scored 26 more points in a running clock in the second half. That's incredible. That just, you know, I feel bad for Fresno High. So anyway, Napomo 6, Kalinga at the 7. That's a really good. Kalinga's playing their best ball right now. They had a little clunky start, but they're playing a lot better. Menachie at the 8, Santa Ynez out of the Central Coast area at number 9, Dos Palos at the 10, Atascadero at the 11, and Exeter at the 12.
So I'll tell you this, Trevor. Seeing McLean as the 3 seed going undefeated and putting up those points, I know the strength of schedule has not been good, but seeing Templeton and Emmanuel ahead of them is a little bit crazy. I mean, I know Emmanuel 10-0, strength of schedule also is not good. Emmanuel, you know, beat McLean at their place in the playoffs last year. That's a little crazy to me.
They're all 3 undefeated, and they're all lumped right in there from 24th to 28th in the Central Section rankings. So those are the 3 teams where they're all league champs. They're all undefeated. And they're all separated by less than 2 points in their ratings on HS ratings. So Templeton right now is 24th overall. They're going to give the 1 seed in Division 4. Then Emmanuel, as a D5 base, falls into that 2 spot, most likely. And then you got McLean in the 3rd. So, yeah, it comes down to strength of schedule. McLean's a negative 31.9 compared to a negative 25.6 for Emmanuel and a negative 15.4 for Templeton. So everything on HS ratings aligns with them going 1-2-3 in Division 4, Templeton, Emmanuel, and then McLean. And then you got North High falling in at the 4 seed, just ahead of a 9-1 Roosevelt team, right? The only loss
to
that
40. Yep, only loss is to McLean.
To McLean, yeah, right. It just, that's, I mean, but you, and if it stays at 12 teams, that means Templeton, Emmanuel, McLean, and North will all get a bye in the first round.
Yeah.
And then, it's just going to be, you know, pedal to the metal after that.
Yeah, and the way these are shaping up, Trevor, we've only got about 6 minutes to break down a couple divisions, and I want some sleepers, some teams that we need to keep an eye out for. But, man, just looking at these, again, this is just our projections. We'll find out what the committee comes up with. The top 4 or 5 of every division is absolutely loaded, and that's what the CIF Central Section has been trying to do for years. So we're getting closer and closer, but I really like what I see. All right, Trev, give us a quick rundown of what you think D5 looks like.
So Liberty, Madero Ranchos, like I said, drops out of the D4 moving up, so they stay in their base division. 1 seed Woodlake, looks like they'll be the 2 seed. They will be a D6 base that will move up to the 2 seed. Bishop, which happened to lose to Kern Valley last night. Very interesting game there. Good for the Bronx, too. And that's the thing. How about this? Kern Valley, which I have at number 4 overall in D6, that was their last game in the High Desert League. They're moving into the Horizon League down here, so they're going to start playing Bakersfield area teams now. That was their last game in the High Desert League, and they beat Bishop last night. First time they've done that in 10 years, so congratulations to Kern Valley Bronx on that one. But Bishop's still sitting at the 3 seed. Cabrillo, West High, who has one of the best three-way players that we've seen in a while, and Solomon Harris, quarterback, DB, punter, kick returner. I think he drives the bus and fills up the water, too. They're sitting at the 5, Chowchilla at the 6, Sanger West, and then Delano, which actually went winless in the SSL, still sitting with a possible home game because they went 4-1 in non-league. And then Morro Bay, Reedley, Strathmore, Hoover, Selma, Taft, which got their 3rd win last night, beating Delano. Great win for them, and then Sierra Pacific and Fowler to finish it off in a full Division 5 bracket. And you actually have 2 teams from Division 5 that could be dropped down to the bottom of Division 6 really quickly. In Division 6, it looks like it'll be Arosi, Foothill, Miramonte, Kern Valley is the top 4 seeds in D6.
We got Coach Shannon Pulliam coming on after you, Trevor, from Minaret. So they're looking at the number 1 seed in D6, right?
Minarets, yes.
Yes, good.
I missed that. So, yeah, Minarets. I just writing without any sleep. So, yeah, Minarets, Arosi, Foothill, Miramonte, Kern Valley, and then Boron, Lindsay. Arvin, it sounds like they're not going to go because they wanted to get the 4th win. They didn't get it in the loss to Miramonte last night. By the way, Miramonte, 7 wins most in program history, even though they went 6-6 and went to the D6 finals last year. So that was kind of cool for head coach Christian Johnson. And if the seeds hold, Friday night will be the first home playoff game in Miramonte history since opening that school in 2009.
All right, good stuff, Trev. All right, so my opinion, everything looks pretty darn good at the top. We're going to have some very competitive games. Are there some schools – I know you're obviously know the South Valley way more than the teams up here, but are there any schools you think might make a little bit of a run? It seems like there's always a 6 seed or a 7 seed that makes it to a final. So are there some teams that we need to keep an eye out for?
In Division III, if Kennedy can shore up this lack of defense that they've had recently, they could do some damage just because Jace DeMacoblin, you know, he's one of the most prolific running backs in Kern County history. That kid's so hard to bring down at 6 foot, 215 pounds. Very interesting to see them. Garces and D2, that team can put up points in a hurry. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do right there middle of the pack in D2, probably with the 5 seed. I like North High. I like to see a North High team that has become more balanced. And we're talking about North High out of Bakersfield, actually out of Oildale. I'd like to see them. I can't wait to see them play at Templeton, Emmanuel, and McLean, because remember, they gave Golden West a really tough run in September when Golden West was still undefeated. They lost to them 28-14, but North had a lead at one point in that game. So they could play some ball against big teams. So I'm really interested to see how that happens. And like you said, McLean being the 3 seed, do the Highlanders get a little bit of that mojo and a little chip on their shoulder for being the 3 seed when they probably think that with the margin of victory they've had all year, they should be the 1, right? So I'm really interested to see them there. And then West High in Division 5. I mean, I know they took a loss to North High last night, but, man, if you guys get a chance to watch Solomon Harris play in the playoffs, go watch him. He's just so much fun to play. He's a Bakersfield native. His dad is in the oil industry. They moved to North Dakota. They just moved back last spring, and it's his senior year at West. We've never seen him play. He was at Independence his freshman year before they moved to North Dakota for a couple of years. He comes back, now he's at West High, and his dad's a basketball coach there. Really, really fun football player to watch. So West High there. And then Minarets, I love the fact that they've been 1 seed in D6. Just how cool is that from, town like O'Neill's is so small up in the hills. That's a cool story for them as well.
Yeah, we'll hear about that story for sure after the break. So, Trev, hey, man, how do we do that in a half an hour? We need 2 hours for this stuff. So I'm sure you and I will be texting each other. We'll probably have some coaches texting each other, texting us as well. But good job as always. Appreciate you.
Yeah, are you going to do a 6-minute commercial break now to make up for the fact that we just talked nonstop for a half hour?
You're taking away Coach Pulliam's talk right now, man. He might have a beef with you now, but good stuff, man. We are here for this all, and it's going to be an exciting time. Can't wait. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, bro. All right. Later, bud.
Later, bro. All right. Trevor Horn. Talk a mile a minute, but he knows his stuff. We're going to bring on Coach Pulliam after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. All right, final segment. Gosh, this show is absolutely flying by. We needed more time to break down what we think are going to be the football brackets coming out sometime this afternoon. We're thinking around 3 o'clock. Could be sooner, could be a little late, a little bit later. I think the committee has a few things to figure out, but I'm excited. I think we're getting pretty much to a really, really good just the competition levels. I think they're getting a lot of things right now. They've gone through some rough patches, got a lot of feedback,
for sure.
Let's put it that way. But I think we're looking really good. And Coach Pulliam's here. I've known Shannon for a while, watching his daughter tear it up at Clovis West High School in the basketball program. Those are some fun days with Coach. 9-1 is his Minarets team, projected to be the 1 seed. Whooped up on Yosemite last night. So, Coach, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about last night and what you like about your team this year. You guys 9-1, like I said, heading into the playoffs, the top seed. What do you like about your boys?
Well, these kids have really bought into what we're doing, and our off-season program this last summer was tremendous. Our kids made huge, super gains in the weight room, And just when you start having success like we did last year and starting to turn around, kids buy in. And we got really more, a lot stronger. We got more physical as a team. We have some athletes. We're not huge. We're not big. We have 30 guys on the team. We really only dress 28 because we got a couple injuries. But, you know, they play hard. They did a great job last night. You know, big rivalry game against Yosemite. And, you know, it's always a huge one with them. And we took care of business last night. I mean, you know, Yosemite came in as a 7-2 record. And kudos to Coach Acott, who's, you know, kind of turned their – you know, their mindset.
They were down in that program was literally nothing like after COVID.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it got down to like 18 players.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I said, kudos to him for really turning their mindset around. And I think, you know, they had some good athletes. They came out kind of smoking. They were inspired, you know.
Took care of business.
Took care of business. That's what we try and preach.
You got a pretty good quarterback.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So talk about your senior quarterback and what he's doing on the field.
Yeah, Torin Wolf. You know, he was with us last year on the show. And Torin's just a tremendous leader, great athlete, competitor, total competitor. And then, you know, being in the program for 3 years, he's just established himself as, I think, one of the best quarterbacks in the Valley. He's got all the intangibles. He's, you know, he's 6'1", 6'2", 195 pounds, not afraid to run, physical, throws a good ball, and very intelligent, very intelligent. He's a 4-plus something GPA guy and comes from good stock. His brother Keenan, who played at Fresno, Buchanan, and played at Fresno City and Moorhead State and some pro ball, he is now coaching with us.
And, oh, nice.
And so with the last 2 years, and phenomenal football mind, young, 25 years old, but knows the game. And Torin and him their relationship as brothers is great, I'm sure. But and now as a coach player, it's been really good.
That's awesome. So before last night, had thrown 30 touchdowns. He probably had, what, 3 or 4 more last night?
I think he had 4 more.
Had 4 more.
Yeah.
All right, so let's add to that total. Last year, you had a really good team. A top seed. Were you guys the number one?
Yeah.
Number one seed. Yeah. And Trevor mentioned him earlier. I was surprised you didn't knock over the speaker when they said Miramonte, right? I was a little surprised. But say,
sure.
Like, you know, they beat you, right?
Yep.
And,
yep.
I mean, how devastating was that for the program? However, how have they learned to get past that and the adversity that goes with that and different mentality this year?
Well, you know, you got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder now. Yep. You know, those guys – played hard. It was a great, great season. I kept saying, what a great season, what a great season we had. Just a horrible ending because I really thought we had a couple chances to win the football game, and it was a tight score and all that stuff. But our kids took that, and I think they built on that in the off season. Like I said earlier, our kids got so much stronger. I mean, after our Chowchilla game, Mike Parsons, who's an assistant over there, had been a head coach and done some great things. He and I are good friends, and he texted me 2 days after and said, Coach, I just can't believe how much more physical your kids are and how tougher they are. And I said, that's just a testament to the hard work they put in the weight room and the off-season stuff.
Culture, right? Brought it in, right?
Well, you know, you try to do exactly what you're trying to do to build these programs, and when you have kids that really want it, they have a desire. They didn't know how to win. They never won before. And you got to build that in them. And once they get to that point where they're expecting to win, they're not hoping to win. Now there's an expectation, and that's what we've kind of got to.
That's big, right? The expectations and going from hey, just compete, but now no, okay, compete, but yet win the football game.
Well, yeah, you get into a situation where a couple of bad plays happen, and boom, you get your dauber down, your head's down, you're done, and they don't play that way anymore. They don't see that. It's like, okay, flush it. Let's go to the next play. And that's something you got to have because when you dwell on those bad plays, you don't
especially
have
when you're the favorite, right? You start to get a little nervous. Hey, they scored on us first. Oh, shoot. We just turned the ball over. Now they're up 14, right? The mentality is for high school kids can be tough.
Absolutely. And, you know, you want to get on kids. You want to put pressure them and stuff like that. You want to rip them and stuff. But a lot of times these kids now, you know, they know what they did wrong.
Yeah.
They understand.
You don't have to remind them.
No. And a little bit here with a few kids. You know, you got to pick and choose your battles. But, it's a different mindset out there.
So Minaret's 9-1, going to be a top seed in Division 6. We leave the number one seed. I mean, we don't want to say for sure until the brackets come out.
Right.
Excited to follow you guys throughout those playoffs. So your son plays for Buchanan, and both you and I, we weren't sitting together, but we saw Central East beat Buchanan, a game that Buchanan was leading at halftime. Yeah, when you have these high-level football games and they're all familiar with each other, they played against each other for years, like what are some of like your takeaways from that game? Again, you're rooting for Buchanan, right? Obviously you are.
Yeah.
But did you kind of have a feeling like, hey, Buchanan's playing some really good defense, opportunistic. They had a kickoff for a touchdown. But almost for you, you're like, I'm waiting for Central to score that long touchdown that they're known for. Brandon Smith's going to break a long one. We know it.
Absolutely.
Right? That's kind of the MO of Central.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm so really proud of my son, Cole. He's the starting left tackle. He took over for Braden Walton.
Yeah.
He's starting it from the
literally some big shoes.
Yeah, exactly. They moved it from center to left tackle. So I'm really proud of the way he's played, and hopefully they do well in the playoffs. But, watching that game, it was really an enjoyable game to watch, even though, you know, our boys lost. But I think Buchanan does play great defense. Mm-hmm. They really do some good things. Yeah, they even had three starters out the other night. One of their defensive linemen, Russell Devaney, was hurt, who does a lot of good things on the defensive line. But they play great, and they get after it. Offensively, they're kind of hit and miss. I mean, Gannon Sever and Butters, Carvel Wafer, are two dynamic young running backs, and they do a great job. I think Central's little bit of a downfall is their defense.
Yeah.
They just don't they're not as sound as a defense. Now, like you said, anytime their offense, it looks like Kyle says, okay, we're going to outscore you. You know, the week before against Clovis High, 61-49, and he relies on those big play guys. But we'll see how it goes in the playoffs. I mean, you know, anything can happen at any time, and they were up 28-20 at half.
Well, let's focus on Buchanan a little bit. They're not going to be an easy game, right? 4 or 5 seed, we'll see. They're probably going to play Clovis North, which is going to be crazy. But why can a team like Buchanan, the way they operate, be a challenge for anybody in the playoffs?
Well, you know, they I don't know, Grant Mosier, who's a strong safety, great player. He comes from great lines. His dad, Tim Rames, was one of my mentors and one of my coaches and played at USC. Grant, the last couple of games, is starting to play some receiver.
Yeah.
And he's 6'3", 6'4", he's 6'4", 205 pounds, can run. And he caught some big balls the other night and stuff like that. Nice, broke a couple tackles, ran for a touchdown. And I think they're starting to utilize some of the guys that they should on both sides of the ball. And I think with that happening, and Jaden, I can't think of his last name, he's one of my friends, number 10, is really starting to come around. He's a basketball guy, catching the football. He had trouble early on dropping balls, but he's, you know, becoming a threat to catch a ball and do some things. And I think Tommy Devaney is going to be a really good player.
He's got a good arm. Baseball player, too.
And he's got the quarterback mentality.
He does.
Oh, yeah. He's got the –
He's not afraid to lead
he got that
as
swag
a sophomore. Yeah.
As a sophomore, not at all. I've known those boys for a long time with my son, and he's going to be a good one.
Do you like how playoffs are shaping up to be, right? The top teams are getting those high seeds. We're going to have competitive brackets, I think, throughout the playoffs.
That was a huge overtaking when they did that, to change it to the top four, the top four seeds. If you get moved up, that's where you get placed from the bottom, your base division. Because if it would have happened, if it wouldn't have happened last year, we'd have been if they moved us up, we'd have been a 14 seed, having an 8-2 season, a really good, you know, our best in school history, and have to travel the whole time. So I think it's you're exactly right. It's getting so much better. We like being the number one seed in the six. We haven't really established ourselves yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've this was the best season. We 9-1 at school record. Last year was the year before. And then, but I think we need to we need to establish ourselves in six before we get moved up into that, you know, five, because you know, our kids deserve that. And you know, we're so short because of being with Liberty, not winning a league championship.
That's your only loss this year.
That's right. Yeah. And they're a good football team. Yeah. Really good. They went 10-0, and but it's just like, just got our first goal was to win a league championship. We came a little, one game short, but the next, now we go on, and now the opportunity, if we stay where we should be, it's really great.
You like your spot?
I do.
I think there's a lot of schools. We're not going to see a lot of complaining like we have in the past. So I think a lot of schools like where they're going to be in the playoffs. Coach, we only got another minute with you. I want to give some love, right? You are on broadcast, man. You're familiar with this microphone thing, the headset. So you've been broadcasting Fresno City football games with Scott Bemis. You got one at 1 o'clock today, COS. Big one.
Yes.
Right, what, Coach Caviglia last year, right? How great of a guy is he? Hopefully they can go out in a blaze of glory.
Tony deserves it. I mean, Tony's worked so hard here, and his quest to be the guy here at Fresno City, and you know, he's a great mentor to these boys.
Yeah.
Such a good football coach. He's surrounded himself with good people, and I think I'd love for him to get that 200th win.
He's at 199 right now.
199 right now. Yeah. So I would that would be great for him to get that. He still has Reedley next week, but then hopefully with them adding two more slots in the playoffs in this upper division, could possibly get there with a, you know, if we go two more wins, 6-4 record to get to the playoffs. But we'll see. I mean, but he totally deserves it.
COS got a good team this year. I think they upset the number one team in the state a few weeks back.
Yep.
Coach, thanks for coming on. You got a big day ahead of you. You got to get to Ratcliffe, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I text Scott. I said, hey, I'm on with Paul, but I'll be there as soon as I'm done, all right? He goes, don't worry. Take your time.
And you got to climb those stairs, too. That's going to take you another 12 minutes.
Paul, that's the worst part of the whole thing.
I know. I agree.
I love going on the away games because we have a small stadium.
I agree. We've all done those stairs. All right, thanks for coming on. Good luck to the rest of the way. Really appreciate you, Scott.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Or Shannon. All right. Thanks to First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez, Deegan Rose, Trevor Horn, and, of course, Shannon Pulliam for sharing his thoughts about his great Minarets team heading into the playoffs. Appreciate you guys always. Have a great rest of the weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.